Good morning. This is Regina, and I am here just a little early today, so I'm recording the Tao Te Ching for today. I have to go to the airport and pick up my mom and then take her out to lunch, so I'm not available at noon my time, which is 2 Eastern time, which is when today's Tao Te Ching is. So I'm recording it a little early. Today, we're going to be looking at verse 28. And I'm going to start with the Derek Lynn version. And this is verse 28 from Derek Lynn. Know the masculine, hold to the feminine. Be the water course of the world. Being the water course of the world, the eternal virtue does not depart. Return to the state of the infant. Know the white. Hold the black. Be the standard of the world. Being the standard of the world, the eternal virtue does not deviate. Return to the state of the boundless. Know the honor. Hold the humility. Be the valley of the world. Being the valley of the world, the eternal virtue shall be sufficient. Return to the state of plain wood. Plain wood splits, then becomes tools. The sages utilize them and then become leaders. Thus the greater whole is undivided. So this is a super interesting verse from the Tao Te Ching. And there's an awful lot in it. What I want to do is go ahead and look at the other translations before we start breaking it apart and understanding it more deeply. So I'm grabbing Wayne Dyer, verse 28. Know the strength of man, but keep a woman's care. Be a valley under heaven. If you do, the constant virtue will not fade away. One will become like a child again. Know the white, keep to the black, and be the pattern of the world. To be the pattern of the world is to move constantly in the path of virtue without erring a single step, and to return again to the infinite. One who understands splendor while holding to humility acts in accord with eternal power. To be the fountain of the world is to live the abundant life of virtue. When the unformed is formed into objects, its original qualities are lost. If you preserve your original qualities, you can govern anything. Truly, the best governor governs least. So, definitely some differences in that translation. Feels a little watered down to me from the original, but you know, we'll look at them. And verse 28 from Stephen Mitchell. Know the male, yet keep to the female. Receive the world in your arms. If you receive the world, the Tao will never leave you, and you will be like a little child. Know the white, yet keep to the black. Be a pattern for the world. If you are a pattern for the world, the Tao will be strong inside you, and there will be nothing you can't do. Know the personal, yet keep to the impersonal. Accept the world as it is, If you accept the world, the Tao will be luminous inside you, and you will return to your primal self. The world is formed from the void, like utensils from a block of wood. The master knows the utensils, yet keeps to the block, and she can use all things. Now that, I think, is a really wonderful translation. I think it keeps the profoundness of Derek Lynn's translation, yet simplifies it for the Western mind. So what I may stick with this week more is Derek Lynn and Stephen Mitchell's translations, and you know, maybe we'll look at Wayne Dyer again, maybe we'll leave him set aside. But let's go back to Derek Lynn. So it starts off, Derek Lynn starts off, know the masculine and hold to the feminine. Of course, Stephen Mitchell really said the same thing, know the male yet keep to the female. So the male in this case is the outgoing energy, the making things happen energy, the doing energy. And the female is the receptive energy. I mean, if you really think about sex here, you know, let's just talk about the traditional missionary position for a moment. In the traditional missionary position, the woman is just open and receiving. And the man is the one that is really doing, right? Thrusting, right? Active, making happen. And this is really what this is referring to. So it's interesting, it says, know the male, but keep to the female. Know the masculine. But hold the feminine. To me, this is an eyes open position. Right now, there certainly is not a world of receivers. Whether the actual body gender of a person is male or female, most people in the world live the masculine way of being, meaning they're doing, they're outgoing, they're trying to make things happen. We could call this living from self-will, to simplify it, right? So you have to have an eyes-open position. You have to see in a non-judgmental way, be aware in a non-judgmental way, of all of this masculine energy in the universe. Now, you don't want to be in denial of the way the universe is operating, the way the individuals are operating. So you know that masculine energy that seems to be primary by far right now. But you, as the master, holds the feminine energy. Your job is to receive. It's not to join that masculine energy. You know, if we think of a business meeting, for example, you know, you may be in a business meeting. Let's say you're in a business meeting with 8 individuals. And the other 7 individuals around the table will most likely be operating from this masculine energy. They'll have agendas, one of which is for them personally to look good, look smart, have the answers. They'll come into this meeting all with this masculine energy. And as the master, you alone, being fully aware of the energy, watching the energy, noticing the energy, and no way denying the energy, You alone are receiving, waiting for your guidance about when to speak, what to say. I think the important part of the eyes open is that just being eyes open and aware of what's occurring around you is what pure awareness does, right? So there's a pure awareness aspect to that. But in that way, you're not at all disconnected. You know, if somehow your eyes were closed, your ears were covered, you were unaware of the masculine energy that everyone around you is operating from, there would be some kind of a disconnect. In fact, I don't think you can genuinely receive. I don't think you can genuinely be that feminine energy if you aren't connected and aware of the masculine energy that seems to dominate in the world today. You have to be non-judgmentally open and aware, and yet in no way attached or resisting. In order to receive your part, you have to be connected. You know, again, if we go back to the missionary position as a symbol, you know, the woman in that position is open, receiving, and of course she's connected. She's a part of the act. She's not disconnected from the act of intercourse in any way. Right? So you want to know the male, know the masculine, but hold to the female, hold to the feminine. Be that receiving energy, eyes open, receiving. So know the masculine, hold the feminine. Be the water course of the world. Being the water course of the world, the eternal virtue does not depart. So I'm not 100% sure what the word water course means. I don't think I've ever actually seen that word before. So I have imaginations about what it means, but my imaginations may not be correct. So let me just take a moment to look that up. Okay, so my definition was correct. It says a water course is a brook, stream, or an artificially constructed water channel. It is the bed along which a water course flows. So, you know, in my new house in La Vida, we have a water course then that flows right in front of our house, right? So what's interesting is that the water course here, the definition of the water course is either a natural stream or an artificially constructed one. And the one in front of my house is an artificially constructed one. So if I look at the natural stream, you know, like the Pucharas River, which was next to the condo, and if I look at this artificially constructed stream that goes in front of my new house in La Vida, and I ask what do these two have in common, the answer that comes to me is the flow. In both cases, the water is flowing along the water course. In the first case, with the Cucharas River, the water kind of naturally picks its path, just following the lowest area of the ground. But in the second case, in the case of the water course in front of my new house, they dug the ditch, and the water just flows through that ditch. But in both cases, the water is flowing. So if we look at this where it says, be the watercourse of the world, being the watercourse of the world, the eternal virtue does not depart. And we look at this in relationship to know the masculine and hold to the feminine. If we look at the masculine energy and we just narrow that down to self-will right now, call that self-will. And we talk about as the feminine, you're not only being receptive, but your eyes open. If you imagine yourself in that meeting with these seven other people who are all acting from this masculine energy, and you're there with an eyes open, receptive, feminine energy, you can see how you are making yourself available to be that point that finds the flow in what's happening and then kind of leads everyone through that flow. You know, a bunch of masculine self-wills might imagine kind of just bumping heads and maybe getting nowhere, not resolving, going round and round in the conversation. But the one who is open, open-eyed, and receptive is able to see, know, intuit the direction from even the bumping heads conversation and is able to say the right words that kind of leads everyone to find that flow, the direction that the universe kind of wants to go in. And lead. Lead the flow. Lead according to that flow. So, listen to these words. Know the masculine. Hold to the feminine. Be the watercourse of the world. Being the watercourse of the world, the eternal virtue does not depart. Now, what is the eternal virtue? The eternal virtue is the Tao. The eternal virtue is not a virtue like honesty is a virtue or patience is a virtue. The eternal virtue is being the Tao, being the moment. So you can see how if you are being open-eyed and receptive and finding the flow and leading everyone into that flow gently, you can see how you are being the Tao. You are being the moment, right? And so therefore that eternal virtue doesn't depart because you are staying, you're not only staying in line with it, you are literally being it. Let me just peek. It's Stephen Mitchell. Yeah, he does translate this a little different. He says, know the male, yet keep to the female. Receive the world in your arms. If you receive the world, the Tao will never leave you. I'll go ahead and peek at Wayne Dyer. Know the strength of man, but keep the care. You can see how he has just real, he's the one that took the creative license this time. be a valley under heaven. If you do, the constant virtue will not fade away. So, Stephen Mitchell mentions the receiving, receive the world. And Wayne Dyer mentions the openness, right? The valley is open. Be the valley under heaven. Be open. But I do think that Derek Lynn is the one that's really, you know, when he refers to this water course, finding this flow and being that flow and the eternal virtue does not depart. I think that's really the, that's the heart probably of what the Tao wants to communicate here for the leader. Right? Again, if you imagine yourself in that business meeting, being that one that is open-eyed to the self-wills of everyone else, non-judgmentally, just aware of what's going on, and being tuned in a receptive way to intuition, to the Tao, finding that flow, recognizing that flow, and then leading, you know, through quiet speaking, leading everyone else to find that flow and go with the flow of the universe, the direction the universe wants to go in. That particular stanza ends with, return to the state of the infant. Return to the state of the infant. And if we think of an infant knows nothing, has no agenda, is just being, right? So this is kind of a capstone that kind of captures, again, the master's innocence. Innocence is another word, the master's innocence, non-agenda, non-pushing, you know, just whatever the universe wants, that's what the master is going to lead to. The master is not going to check the flow that he or she intuitively receives and then say, wait, does that check with my self-will? Does that check with my agenda before communicating it? You know, the master is going to be like the infant and have no judgments, no agenda, completely innocent, completely joyous, although infants aren't always completely joyous. I think this is a part of that. And just communicate the flow as it is received. So moving on to the next stanza. Know the white, hold to the black. The white in Chinese thinking, the white is what's seen, what's known. The black is what is mysterious. Darkness and blackness refer to the mystery. So, know the white, hold the black. So, for example, if there's a financial aspect to the meeting, knowing the white would be aware of the financial records. You know, maybe we're aware that right now there isn't as much incoming money as there is expenditures. There's not as much revenue as expenditures. And we're also aware that if this pattern continues, that at some point we may be out of business. Right? So be aware of the white. But hold the black. Hold the mystery. Instead of taking on that masculine controlling attitude, well, we have to do this and this and this to get these revenues back up. Be aware that you know, there may be something coming in the universe, assuming our organization is to continue. There may be something coming in the universe that we don't know and that we couldn't fathom that will get those revenues back up. You know, so the heart needs to stay with the mystery. The heart needs to stay with, you know, if this problem is to be resolved, if this is to be resolved, it will be resolved. And you know, and that's that. We'll find out how it's resolved. And that doesn't mean that ideas won't come, you know, through our open receptiveness. But the attitude has to be not a non-controlling attitude. If you stay completely in the white, if you stay only with the known, you're going to enter that masculine controlling energy. So yeah, eyes are open again. I see these financial records. I recognize what this appears to point to, but I don't know what I don't know. I don't know how the universe, what the universe is going to do next. And this is going to keep you in a peaceful, relaxed position, regardless of what the known appears to show. You know, I remember times in my past when it appeared that everybody was quitting back in my corporate time. You know, you may have 2, 3, or 4 employees turning in their resignation in a small period of time. And it's like, oh my gosh, how are we going to continue to operate? You know, how are we going to continue to function with these key positions leaving the organization? And yet, you know, somebody would come and interview for those jobs, and that new person would have new skills that the old person didn't have. And actually, the organization would, in my case, continue to excel, continue to move forward. I mean, like, the people were very well replaced, right? There was never a loss happening. It's just you couldn't see that when only the quitting was occurring. You didn't yet know about the new people who were going to come and fill those positions, the new people with new skills that were going to take us in a dynamic new direction, because they had new ideas that the old team didn't have, right? So you have to stay with the mystery. I mean, your eyes are open. You know these people are quitting. You know you need to post new positions. You know you need to do interviews, right? But you don't know what the universe is going to bring you. So know the white holds the black. Be the standard of the world. Being the standard of the world, the eternal virtue does not deviate. And Stephen Mitchell says, be a pattern for the world. If you are a pattern for the world, the Tao will be strong inside you, and there will be nothing you can't do. We have the word standard. We have the word pattern. Wayne Dyer also uses the word pattern. So I'm just going to go to the dictionary again. So a standard is a level of quality or attainment. It's also an idea or thing used as a measure, norm, or model in comparative evaluations. So that might be just be an example of the Tao for the world, be that living example. Let's go ahead and look up pattern. Yes. Obviously, one definition of a pattern is a repeated decorative design. Another definition of a pattern is a model or design used as a guide. It says in needlework and other crafts. And then the third definition is an example for others to follow. So I think we have our meaning here. It is being that example of how to live by the Tao. Right? Oh, this is so beautiful. Now remember, we're studying enlightened leadership. So, and we're looking at the verse right now that says, know the white but hold to the black. Know what's seen, know the appearance, but hold to the mystery. And in doing that, you are an example to the world. Right, you're teaching the world to trust the unknown. This is your job as the leader. Teach the world to trust the unknown. So as the leader, you don't want to be the one that's there trying to take control and get the revenues up. As crazy as that sounds. Now you know that if the revenues are to go up, the revenues will go up. And you know that you don't know how that's going to occur. You know, if you're in a company that sells something, you don't know what employee is going to leave and what new employee is going to come in with some new creative idea that is going to be like, wow. And when you add that to your product, the revenues are going to go up. You know, if you happen to lead a church, you don't know who's going to show up with a donation. It's going to take care of that gap in general donations that is needed to make sure that all expenses are covered. You know, you can't make that happen either. You can't make that new employee come in with that creative idea You can't make someone have a creative idea. And you can't make that person show up with that donation that's needed to cover the gap. Only the universe, only consciousness, only the Tao could be the cause of that. That perfect flow of the right person with the right idea or the right amount of money to show up. And you live in that mystery knowing that you can't control. You live in that mystery knowing that you can't imagine how this is all going to unfold. But you trust that mystery and you lead by example in trusting that mystery. So a poor example here would be the one who tries to control and tries to make things happen. The good example here is the one that has their eyes open and is aware of the situation and yet has this inherent trust in the Tao, this inherent trust in the mystery, this willingness to watch and see how the universe resolves this situation. It's really quite beautiful. So know the white, hold to the black, be the standard of the world. Being the standard of the world, the eternal virtue does not deviate. Again, because you are being the Tao. Right? The Tao is the eternal virtue. Return to the state of the boundless. Know the honor. Hold the humility. Oh, here we go. Here's where be the valley of the world comes in. But I think that seems to start something different. So I'll just stick with this part right here. Return to the state of the boundless. Know the honor. Hold the humility. And Stephen Mitchell does something completely different, so I don't feel like looking at that right this second. Wayne Dyer is a little closer. Wayne Dyer says, "One who understands splendor while holding to humility acts in accord with eternal power." Why don't we just go ahead and return to the dictionary? The dictionary often gives us a lot of insight. Let's look up the word honor for a moment. So honor is high respect, great esteem. That's the first definition. The second one is adherence to what is right or to a conventional standard of adherence to what is right or to a conventional standard of conduct. The third definition is something regarded as a rare opportunity and bringing pride and pleasure. So I think that what we want to look at are these first two definitions, high respect and great esteem, and adherence to what is right or to a conventional standard of conduct. And I feel that both of these actually apply. So let's look at both of these. Know the honor, hold to the humility. So when when I first read that, what occurred to me is that people, you know, like your employees, if you lead a business, they have a need, if they aren't also masters, they have a need to be honored. They have a need to be told when they're doing a good job. They have a need to be appreciated. Now, one thing we learned not too long ago in the sanctuary, we had a particular speaker who came close to quitting because he didn't feel people were showing appreciation for what he was sharing while he was sharing. He didn't see people typing on the board, you know, showing appreciation. And what I explained to him was actually, you know, I personally was listening, But I was listening on loudspeakers in my house while moving about the house doing other things. In fact, on that particular day, I was packing to move from the condo to the house. And I said, it's interesting because even in my mind, I said, you know, thank you. You know, I'll make up a name. Thank you, Harry. That was wonderful, Harry. I was saying these things. In fact, sometimes I even said it out loud while packing. Thank you, Harry. That was wonderful. But I wasn't running over to the computer and typing it on the board. And I said, so the appreciation was there. You just weren't aware of it. But, you know, what this illustrates is that when people are still coming from the ego, they have a need for appreciation. And the master's aware of this. The master actually takes the time, even though you could argue it's feeding the ego, the master actually takes the time to do that, to give that appreciation to the employees, you know, or to the volunteers. But the master, in spite of knowing the honor, the master holds to the humility. The master does not need anyone to tell me what a great job I'm doing, to tell me how appreciated I am. The master is not the one who would say, I'm quitting because no one appreciates what I'm saying in the sanctuary. I'm quitting because no one ever comes and listens to my sharing or types that they like my sharing. You know, the master responds to the need for honor in others, but does not have a need for honor in herself. You see? So that fits with this first definition, high respect and great esteem. The master gives that to the others, but does not seek it for herself. But then I think that, and I think that's probably the primary meaning of this. Otherwise, we wouldn't be comparing honor and humility, right? Know the honor, hold to the humility. But I think this, the second definition we should also look at too while we're here, adherence to what is right or to a conventional standard of conduct. Again, in an eyes open way, I think the master is aware of what is expected. You know, so, you know, any type of business, even a church, a retreat house, there are things that are expected. You know, the government expects us to keep receipts, for example, you know, to keep certain records to show that we are not being dishonest if anybody ever wants to check, to show that we are being honest. And, you know, it's kind of like playing by the rules of the game. The master's aware of the rules of the game. But in this case, the humility would be, well, let's just look up the word humility. Let's find out how humility contrasts with being aware of the rules of the game. All right, so here is a definition of humility. The quality or condition of being humble. modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance, rank, etc. So modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance. I think that if we're talking about playing by the rules of the game, you know, following the tax laws, for example, you know, we do this. I mean, we do this. We apply for our tax certificates. We follow our tax laws. We keep our receipts. I mean, we respect and honor all of these laws of the land. But humility then would be, let's say someone loses a receipt. so it's kind of, it's knowing how to take these things lightly when needed. We follow the laws of the land. We keep the receipts, but oh, this receipt is lost. You know what? The receipt is lost then. So we don't have that receipt. The chances are that we're not going to be audited anyway. And if we are audited, then we will just have to face the fact that that receipt is not there when the time comes. You know, and it's not chewing out the employee or the volunteer who lost the receipt. And at the same time, it's not saying, that's okay, we don't need any receipts. You know, it's honoring the rules of the game, playing by the rules of the game, but not taking them with an overly serious attitude, right? Taking it lightly. I think that would be the humility in this case. So, know the honor, hold to the humility. Be the valley of the world. The eternal virtue shall be sufficient. So the valley of the world is the low-lying place. So low-lying here, I think, is again emphasizing the attitude of humility in all circumstances. Always being that humble one, never taking things as too important, no matter what it is. You know, so someone makes a mistake. All right, so a mistake is made. What do we do now? You know, it's staying in that humble, not taking it too important role. You know, if you think about the teaching that the world is not real, it's a very interesting teaching. Taken with this attitude, the world is not real, means this. The world is not real, but we play by the world's rules. I mean, this is why Jesus said, you know, give to Caesar, I don't remember the exact words, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, right? The world is not real, but we still play by the world's rules. We still follow the laws, you know. We still give them the paperwork they expect. We file the reports and pay the fees they want us to file and pay, right? But the world is not real also means to have this lighter attitude about it. If a report isn't filed on time, and as a result we're charged an additional fee, then take that lightly. You know, because it doesn't matter. Because the world is not real. That's not what's most important here. So it's an interesting balancing position of following the rules, playing the game by the rules, and yet notice the word game, not taking it too seriously. That's also the valley. That's just the low-lying attitude with everything. That's humility, not taking things with too much seriousness. Even if the company does fail or the church does end because there weren't enough revenues, but then take that lightly. In fact, you know, next week we're going to be looking at one of my favorite Tao Te Ching verses, verse 29. I'll just give you a little advanced reading here. Right in the middle of it, it says, there is a time for being ahead, a time for being behind, a time for being in motion, a time for being at rest, a time for being vigorous, a time for being exhausted, a time for being safe, a time for being in danger. What this means is all things in the world have their time. So you could say there is a time for success, and a time for what the world would call failure. A time for the beginning of organizations, and a time for the end of organizations, right? So you take everything lightly because everything has its time. You're not here to force this organization to continue to succeed if it's its time to end. You accept gracefully and with humility. You know, you don't put too much importance. And yet at the same time, your eyes are still open. You see the situation. You're receptive to the flow, right? I mean, it's such a balancing position. And it's a balancing position, I'll be frank with you, that the mind can't understand or maintain. So you can't do all of this. You know, have your eyes open, know the situation, be receptive to the flow, trust the mystery, but being aware of the appearance, honoring the rules, yet taking them lightly. You can't do this with the mind. This can only be done with the Tao. This can only be done with that open emptiness that we call awareness. Open emptiness. Listen to those words. Both open and empty. Aware and fully receptive without an agenda. Right? Know the masculine, hold to the feminine, be the water course of the world. Know the white, hold to the black, be the standard or example of the world. Know the honor, hold to the humility, be the valley, the continuous humility of the world. Right, it's an incredibly profound reading, and it just perfectly describes the characteristics of the master leader, of the enlightened leader. You know, as a leader, I would aspire to nothing higher than verse 28 of the Tao Te Ching, and I would also aspire, well. Let's listen to Wayne Dyer. He's the only one that uses these exact words, but they're the words that are coming to mind right now. He says, to be the pattern of the world is to move constantly in the path of virtue, which means to follow the Tao at all times. Remember that virtue is the Tao. To be the pattern of the world is to move constantly in the path of virtue. Listen to these words. Without erring a single step. That's the aspiration of the enlightened leader. Without erring a single step. Now, this doesn't mean that you won't make mistakes. No one is perfect. Everyone makes mistakes. But you don't aspire to make mistakes, right? You don't aspire to that. You know, aspire is where you hold your heart, where you hold your attention. You aspire, you hold your heart, you hold your attention. You aspire to make no mistakes. You aspire to follow the Tao in all things. It's not like you aspire to follow the Tao unless we're losing money. Then I return to the masculine. Then I take control, right? You aspire to follow the Tao in all things, even to continue to follow the Tao as the company or the church appears to be failing, nearing closure, it's going to be the end. You still aspire to follow the Tao without erring a single step. When it comes to leadership, there is nothing I'd rather stick to than this. There is nothing I'd rather stick to than knowing the masculine, seeing the masculine, being aware of the self-will in those around me, yet holding to the feminine, being the open, receptive one. There is nothing I'd rather aspire to than knowing the white, being aware of the challenges, being aware of the current situation, yet holding to the black, trusting the memory. I'm sorry, the mystery, not the memory. Trusting the mystery. Knowing that I don't know what the universe is going to bring next. There is nothing I'd rather aspire to than knowing the honor, understanding the rules that everyone plays by, those who need appreciation, the laws that I have to follow, understanding the rules of the game, and even playing by the rules of the game, and yet holding to the humility, not taking those rules too seriously, and certainly not needing any appreciation, esteem myself. The next thing it says is return to the state of plain wood. Plain wood splits, then becomes tools. The sages utilize them and then become leaders. Thus the greater whole is undivided. Let's look at how this is translated by Stephen Mitchell. Oh, that's a little differently. Oh no, I'm looking at the wrong verse. That's why it's so different. I'm looking at the wrong verse. That is still different. So let's look at Wayne Dyer real quick here. Let's stick with the similar first. Wayne Dyer says, when the unformed is formed into objects, its original qualities are lost. If you preserve your original qualities, you can govern anything. All right. That's a little closer, but let's go back to Derek. Return to the state of plain wood. Plain wood splits, then becomes tools. The sages utilize them, and then become leaders. So, what this says to me is, you know, like if we take this Regina person as a leader, Regina has certain skills, and there may be some things that I'm actually better at than anyone else on our team. Likewise, that's true of the others. Everyone has certain skills, and there may be some things that Jacqueline is better at than anyone else on our team, and there may be some things that Dawn is better at than anyone else on our team, and things that that Cheryl is better at than anyone else on our team. And I assure you that this is true of each and every one of us. And so as the leader, I'm aware of these apparent differences. If there's something that I'm better at than anyone else on the team, then I will utilize my skill for the benefit of the team. And if I see that Jacqueline is better at something than anyone else on the team, then I'm going to ask her to handle this because this is her area of expertise. This is what she's good at. We're going to give it to her for the benefit of the whole team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to utilize those tools. But at the same time, we want to stay with the with everything else this verse has said, we want to stay with the openness, the emptiness, trusting the mystery. You know, it's like when you start utilizing those tools, you kind of have to be wary. You know, especially like let's say it's something that I'm really good at. It's like, look, I know more about this than anyone else. You know, let me manage this. Let me take care of this. When I step into that, I have to make sure I don't slip into controlling. You know, it's a funny, funny place. I mean, it's that eyes open attitude. I'm really aware. I am aware with an eyes open, genuine, honest attitude that I have more experience here, that I know more here than anyone else. And yet, I can't let that slip me into controlling. Even though I know more than anyone else, I have the experience here. I have the skills here. I still have to remain open, receptive, and trusting the mystery. And if I pass it over to Jacqueline, because she's the one that has the skills, the knowledge, it's helpful for her to also be that master then. Don't, you know, just because it, don't try and control it now, Jacqueline. You know, I mean, yeah, you know more than anybody else. You have the skills, but don't forget to round that out with being open, receptive, trusting the mystery, having humility. And this is so friggin' practical. It's like not denying the appearance of the world and yet asking us to remain in touch and harmony with the Tao. So sure, I'll take this problem, or Jacqueline will take this problem, because we're the best tool for the job right now. I mean, just look at it that way. We're the best tool. This is a nail, and I happen to be a hammer, you know, so I'm the best tool for this job. But yet at the same time, I can't become a controlling, hammering hammer. I have to be a hammer that is a hammer in the hand of God, or as Mother Teresa would say, a pencil in the hand of God. Sure, I'm the hammer here. I'm the best tool. I am the best tool for this job. Or Jacqueline is the best tool for this job. But at the same time, we have to remain the tool in the hand of God. See? It's such a profound and perfect verse to describe the enlightened leader. It's a position of not denying the situation, not denying everyone else's attitudes, agendas, skills, eyes completely open, and yet completely receptive, knowing that you don't know what you don't know. You can't predict the future. Trusting consciousness, trusting the mystery. Absolute humility, not taking anything too seriously. Right? Kind of leaves me wordless at this point, so let me just read it one more time and then we'll end. Know the masculine, hold to the feminine. Be the water course of the world. Being the water course of the world, the eternal virtue does not depart. Return to the state of the infant. Know the white, hold to the black. Be the standard of the world. Being the standard of the world, the eternal virtue does not deviate. Return to the state of the boundless. Know the honor. Hold to the humility. Be the valley of the world. Being the valley of the world, the eternal virtue shall be sufficient. Return to the state of plain wood. Plain wood splits, then becomes tools. The sages utilize them, and then become leaders. Thus, the greater whole is undivided. The greater whole is undivided by holding to the feminine, by holding to the black, and by holding to the humility, right? That's how we remain the plain wood. All right, that's it. Thanks.